Good afternoon to everybody. It is a very, very pleasant surprise. You brought smiles to our faces by coming. We're very happy to have you at our midst. Today I wanted to speak to you, to the church, about the purpose of the Word of God. And I will start with a text in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. And it is a scripture that we are familiar to. And it is a very revealing scripture. It says in verse 16, "All scripture is breathed out by God, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work." The scripture teaches us that the Word of God is something that comes from God. It is breathed out by God. When people have written words, these words did not originate out of their own mind, out of their own thoughts, out of their own desire. It is God who breathed these words out through them. And all these scriptures that we have, that we have recognized, this is the Word of God, they are profitable. They have a gain. They have a purpose. They have a use for us that we can teach one another. We can reproof. We can correct. We can train in righteousness. And righteousness is that we call the will of God. Righteousness is not my will, nor your will, nor anybody else's will. Righteousness is the will of God. That's what is right in the eyes of God. And if we have this scripture, then verse 17 says, the purpose of the scripture, why God has given it us to us, and if we are being taught by it, being reproved or corrected and trained by it, then the man of God is competent, equipped for every good work. So in other words, everything we need to know is in the Word of God. If it is not in the Word of God, it is not meant for us. We don't have to worry about it. We don't have to have headache about it. The Word of God is sufficient. So why did God give us His Word? Well, the first point is that we would believe in the Son of God. And the first scripture is John chapter 20. Now let's go there. John chapter 20. Verse 30 and 31. About the Gospel of John, the writer says, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name." So what John has written is not everything that Jesus did. We saw in the Bible study Tuesday that Paul referred to words that we did not find and do not find on any other place except for in Acts chapter 20 when Paul quotes that it is more blessed to give than to receive. So what is written by the inspired man? It is written so that we may believe that Jesus is indeed the Son of God, that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and that by believing in the person of Jesus Christ that we will have life in His name, that we will have life, eternal life, that we will have a life after death. Look in Hebrews chapter 1. It says in verse 1, long ago, At many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed to the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. God has chosen throughout mankind, the period that mankind has been walking on this earth, He has chosen to speak to the people in many different ways. But in the last days, God has spoken to us through the Son. So if I want to know what the Word of God is, I'm going to find out what the Son has said. If He said it, I believe it. It is the Word of God. If He didn't say it, I will disregard it. In Romans chapter 10 verse 17, we know this verse. It says that there is no other way that we can have faith. There is no other way that we can have faith in Jesus, that we can have faith in God, if we don't hear the Word of God. Now, do you know what Satan does in Luke chapter 8? Satan is a thief of the Word of God. He robs the Word of God from the hearts of men. In Luke chapter 8, verse 11, it's the parable of the sower. And it says in verse 11 that the seed is the Word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. The Word of God, hearing it, that is why it's important that we are here. By hearing, there can come faith in our hearts. If we don't hear it, no faith can come from that. Now, what Satan does not want us to do is to listen. And to listen with an heart that is willing to obey. That's what he hates. And so, when the Word of God is sown into a certain type of heart that is not really receptive that he wants or she wants to hear it, Satan comes and he rubs it away. Because he knows if that heart would open to what he or she has heard, faith can come and salvation can come. By reading this, we also recognize the power of the Word of God, what the Word of God can do in the hearts of men. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we read in verse 22, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, verse 23, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God, for all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. Another characteristic of the Word of God is that it will never go away. It will abide, and it will remain forever. And who will see that this will happen? Who will make this happen? It is God Himself. That's the reason why we today can open a book that we call the Word of God, and we can study it, and by hearing these words, we can have faith, and by believing it, we can be saved. And it is God who has provided us this today. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, we see that we are commanded, or especially here the evangelist Timothy is commanded, to preach the word in verse 2. be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Why did Paul say this to Timothy? Well, look in verse 1. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. That is why people need to preach the word of God, because there will come a judgment. And so Christians, and especially evangelists, need to be ready in season and out of season. Always they need to be ready to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort. But how? With short, how you say this in English? Kortlontje?
Short fuses?
No. With complete patience. With complete self-control. And teaching. We need to be teaching people. Why is that so important? Why is it so important that we today have chosen to come here? Look in verse 3 what can happen and what is happening and what will happen. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. What is sound teaching? Well, Paul said, preach the word. Well, what word? Well, what did he say earlier in chapter 3, verse 16 and 17? All scripture that is breathed in by God. And he says there will come a time that people will not endure sound teaching. They don't like it. It hurts their ear. What does it say? But having itching ears. There is something in their ear that itches when they hear the sound teaching being preached. It does something to their ears and they want to scratch because they don't like what they are hearing. It is convincing them from sin for sin. And so it says here, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Because people don't want to hear the truth, they don't want to receive sound teaching, they will surround them with teachers who will preach what they want, what they like to hear, what is comfortable, what is nice and cozy. Well, I've got bad news. The Word of God is not always comfortable and nice and cozy, because why did Jesus Christ come to the earth? To change us. To convince us that we are wrong and that we are living a sinful life and that we need to change. And that we need to become holy as God is holy. And so, if you only want to preach good news to people in a way that they don't have to change, you can be whoever you like to be, that will not work. Well, you will find some churches, but it will not bring you closer to God. So, the first point is, the Word of God, we need it, and it helps us to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So, the second point I want to make is that the Word of God has a purpose to warn us. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In chapter 9, verse 24, that's when he starts making his point how Christians should live their lives, that they should view it as running a race, and that you will be the only one who can win the prize. That's how you should live your Christian life. And then he's going to warn the Christians in chapter 10 what they should be careful of while running that race. And so in verse 11, he says, from chapter 10, from 1 Corinthians, he says, now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of ages has come. So, why is the Word of God given to us? To instruct us, to warn us, to not follow the same bad paths people have walked in the past. And so here specifically he's talking about the nation of Israel. But look in the same book in chapter 4, verse 14. Where Paul says, I do not write these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children. That's the purpose of, one of the purposes of why Paul wrote letters while he wrote to Christians, to instruct, to admonish, to really warn them. I'm not going to make that point. Well, the next point is, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, we went to the second, now we're going to the first. The next point is that we have received the Word of God that we may know how we ought to conduct ourselves in the church. And in the church, I mean in a more broader sense, not only when we assemble, but in our daily lives as Christians. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, he says, I hope to come to you soon, Paul says, but I am writing these things to you so that, if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of truth. If we are going to dig into the Word of God, then we are going to read how every single one of us ought to conduct himself or herself. And so what is obvious, if we see somebody not conducting himself or herself the way it ought to be, it pops out. Because we see, if we know the Word of God, Paul wrote for that very reason, that Christians may know how one ought to conduct oneself in the household of God. So if we have a family member who is unruly, who is maybe has itching ears, or is caught in some kind of sin, we can know and we can see through the writings that come from God. And the church is a pillar and a buttress of truth. Look at chapter 4, verse 11. What is Timothy to do? He is, the words that the inspired Apostle Paul wrote, he is to command and teach these things. Look at chapter 6, verse 2. And that is not correct. I looked it up. I don't know, I looked it up, but I forgot to correct it. But there is another verse that says the same thing, that Timothy is to repeat and to instruct the words that Paul was teaching. So that means, it's not, as Christians, we don't give suggestions. How do you say that? Suggestion. Say it again.
Suggestion.
Suggestion. Wow. We don't say, people, you can do this if you want, or you can do that if you want. You need to teach it. You need to command it. You need to expect it. It's not an option. That is what Timothy wants to do. That is what we need to do. That is what we need to expect from one another. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to avoid that word. I'm going to think about sentences in which I will not have to use that word. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. This is the other side, where Peter warns. Well, let us start reading in verse 1, then we have the context. This is now the second letter that I am writing to you, beloved, and both of them I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder, that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days, with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. So the warning character of the Word of God allows us to identify people who scoff. It allows us to not being caught up in sin. It allows us to know how we ought to conduct ourselves in the household of God. The following point is the word of God is given to us so that we may understand it. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul writes some very interesting words that also is very itching to some people who don't believe this. It says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have briefly written. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. What we read in the Word of God, we can understand. Paul says in verse 4, when you read this, so when you read what he is writing, you can perceive his insight. You can understand it. You can know it. You can think about it. Now, the greatest question that mankind wrestles with is, who am I? Where do I come from? And where will I go to? And this is, we find answers in the Word of God to these questions. So by reading the Word of God, we can understand it. We can know it. And we can have assurance in it. The last but one point is, the Word of God is given to us that through remembrance we will be held awake. Sometimes that is needed in the assembly, that we are being held awake, that we need to fight against our sleep during the sermon. But in we already read in 2 Peter chapter 3, let us go there again, that that Peter wrote in chapter 3, verse 1, that this was already the second letter that he wrote, and that he was stirring up in both of those letters by way of reminder. He wanted to remind them of the things that he preached to them when he was with them. And now, through his letters, he was reminding these things. Look at the same book in chapter 1, verse 12, where it says, therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities. Though you know them and are established in the truth that you have, I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that putting off my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. Verse 15, and I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. What did Peter purpose to do? As long as he lived in his body, he would use his mouth to preach and to remind them. But he also wrote the letters that when he would die, that the Christians would be able at any time to recall all the things that he preached. Do we need reminders? How often do we need to tell our children, don't do this or do that? And then they say, oh, I forgot. I wasn't thinking. I was too busy doing this. I wasn't mindful. We are adults and we are the same in our relationship with God. We also need to be reminded regularly about the things of God. This is one of the purposes of the Word of God. And the last point, and there are many more, but I'm going to stop here. The last point is, the Word of God is given to us so that we may know we have eternal life. Let us go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. In verse 11 we read, "And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life." Verse 13, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." How can we know that we have eternal life? Some people really question this. They have doubts about it. They don't know for sure. How do we know that we have eternal life? Well, John says, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." If your faith and if your life is in agreement with the Word of God, with the Word being preached, then you may know that you have eternal life. You do not have to doubt that. Never, ever. Because God has promised it to you. But how can we know this for sure? Well, look at chapter 2. Because John wrote these words, but he said some other things too. He says in verse 2 from chapter 2 about Jesus, "He is the propitiation for our sins." Another word I will avoid. "And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the world." Verse 3, "And by this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. Whoever says, 'I know Him,' but does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word in him, truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in Him. Whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which He walked." So how can we know that we have eternal life? If we walk in the same way that Jesus walked. If we are obeying the commandments that Jesus gave us. In such a person, truly the love of God is perfected. And that does not mean that as a Christian you are without sin, because earlier he said, if we say that we don't have sin, ourselves liars, we make ourselves deceived, we make ourselves not having the truth in us. But if we confess our sins as Christians and stop them, then God is faithful and He forgives us all sins that we have done. And so we need to live a life that we can say, "I know God, I know Jesus Christ, His Son." And we can show it and prove it by obeying the words of Jesus Christ. So why do we have the Word of God? Well, so that we may believe in the Son of God. That we may be warned. That we may know how we ought to conduct ourselves in the Church of God. That we may understand it. That we may be brought into remembrance the words that are the Word of God. And that we may know that we have eternal life. And of course, there are many more points, but I think if we can remember these, that's already a good start. Amen. Amen.